Lord, as always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And as we declare that word here this morning, let the light shine in every heart to give encouragement and strengthening in Jesus' name and receive all the glory. Amen and amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are still in the month of months that the Lord called forth, the beginning of months. You know, so I want to encourage you with this lesson today. The word of the Lord is tried. It's more or less like your faith is on trial. So let's talk about it. Let's share some things. First of all, what is the word of the Lord? Well, the word of the Lord could be a personal word to you. It could be, you know, a word that the Lord gave to us as a group. It could be some promise that you found in the word of God, you know, that is relevant to some situation that you are dealing with. As everybody ought to know by now, if you've been in this room for any length of time, we've talked multiple times on the basis for believing God is the promise of God that he gave concerning what it is that you are believing God for. Can't just believe something unless God promised it. And you can't, you know, I mean, it's not a promise to you, we said multiple times, unless you know what was promised. So we always start out by finding some promise in the scriptures. We call that the S of the faith specs. Search out the scriptures, see the promise. And we go on to being persuaded, which is the P, that God is able to do what he has promised. Then we embrace it. Not only is God able to do it, we embrace it that he is going to do it. Praise God. There's a difference between believing that God can do all things, which most any kind of believer believes that. But for you to believe not only that he's able to do it, but embrace it that he's actually going to do it for you in that situation. And then you begin to confess it. You know, so, but that's the word of the Lord. And that's how you deal with it. But there's another lesson, another part that we want to bring out today. The part, you know, of holding on. When that very word is tried. And it will be tried. So let's read a few scriptures here. And then let's talk about it. In the book of Psalm chapter 18, number 30. Remember, we were just reading through that psalm the last few days. We're reading through that psalm and seeing how, you know, the relationship that David had, you know, with the Lord. But here's what he says in Psalm 80 and verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Now that's where this lesson title came from, point blank. The word of the Lord is tried. But he is a buckler. It's like your seatbelt. He's got you strapped in. You know, when everything shakes and so forth, he's got you strapped in. You know, praise the Lord. It's a buckler to all those that trust in him. Well, let's read one short verse here in the story of the children of Israel. Psalm 105 is a good psalm for you to read sometime and just see how, you know, the story of the children of Israel coming out and all these things and all the things that he did for them and so on, you know. And, but here I want to just read, you know, a few verses. You know, in verse 16 it said, you know, the Lord called for a famine in the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, you know. So see right there, talking about the story of Joseph, how he went down into, you know, he didn't go. He was taken in slavery. You know, his brothers sold him and so forth to, you know, a band of Ishmaelites and all of that. So, you know, the story. Joseph was sold for a servant, he said, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Now, verse 19 is where I'm going. Until the time that his word came, that's God's word, came, the word of the Lord tried him. So these two scriptures, Psalm 18 and 30, and Psalm 105 and 19, this is where the, we're going to take our lesson from. The word of the Lord will be tried. Whatever God's word it is that he has given you by promise, by scripture, by prophecy, by any way, it will be tried. And another way of looking at it is that you also will be tried by the word of the Lord, and your faith will be on trial. We're going to read some other things to you about that as well. You know, what was the situation in the case of Joseph? Well, there were many dreams that he had of being great and greater than his brethren, you know, and so on and so forth. And so that might have been like the word of the Lord unto him that he will be great and his brothers will make obeisance to him and so on and so forth. And he shall reign over them and rule over them and be greater than them. Well, that word of the Lord was put to the test. And, his brothers would have nothing to do with that. They had no part of Joseph being a ruler over them. They were like, well, we'll see what will become of your dreams. Let's throw you over here into the ditch. Perhaps some evil beast will slay him and so on. And then later, well, okay, let's sell him over here to slavery and all of that. But they thought they had gotten rid of him. And the devil also himself, Joseph in that pit hearing the words of his brother say, ha, dreamer of dreams, we'll see what will become of your dreams now. And the devil would tell him the same thing. The whole time that he was in carried in a caravan by the Ishmaelites to Egypt, he didn't know where he was going. Devil might have come and told him, you're going to be great, huh? You're going to be greater than your brothers, huh? You're going to rule over them. They're going to come and make obeisance to you, huh? Well, we'll see about that. And then, carried him into a foreign land, and one thing after another, it does seem like his situation was getting worse. But even in the situations that were getting worse, the favor of the Lord was still with him. When they carried him into slavery, he got sold into the house of one, Potiphar, who was kind of like chief of army staff in that place. And as soon as he got there, somehow, even though he was a slave, somehow God gave him favor. Because the favor of God was upon him. And the favor of God, once it's upon you, no matter what else is happening, that favor will stay right there with you. he got favor. He was favored above everybody else. His master put all things in his hands. And then, of course, when the wife of his master tried to seduce him and framed him because he wouldn't yield, he was thrown into prison. Looks like his situation kept getting worse. And even when he got into prison, the favor of God was still upon him. And they made him almost like we have the prison wards these days. It was almost like that. He had the ability to go around and see what was going on. They put all the prisoners under his management, so to speak. And the favor of God was still working for him then. The word of the Lord tried him. Evil kept happening to him. And even when he, instrumental in encouraging, the butler to get back in the place and ask the man to remind him after I interpreted the dream, the man forgot him for 2 more years. Word of the Lord kept trying Joseph in there and said, well, you're going to rot in this prison, the devil would tell him. You're not getting out of here. Even the man that you encouraged by the interpretation of the dream, he has forgotten you. You're still here 2 years. Didn't even remember you. The word of the Lord tried him. But when the word of the Lord tried him, finally, the king sent and loosed him. Even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler over all his substance. to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, you know, he passed the test. He stood right there. You know, he told Potiphar's wife, I'm not going to do this great wickedness. I'm going to stand right there in the integrity of my heart. I'm not going to sin against the Lord and do this thing. You know, and on and on. And he kept and he believed God. Well, it took many years, you know, of shame and loss and, you know, sometimes almost hopelessness, you know. But at the end of the day, what the word of the Lord has spoken to him in those dreams came to pass. But along the way, you might say the word of the Lord to him was tried. Well, let's read how Peter explains some of these things in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And why are we saying this? Well, because the Lord has given us the word of rest, and the promise of rest, the promise of quietness, and a time of refreshing. But that word is going to be tried, and it'll be like your faith is on trial. Now, here's how, you know, 1 Peter chapter 1, you know, verses 2 to 7, you know, and he's writing unto them, to all the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, you know, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be unto you. Peace be multiplied and so on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye rejoice greatly, though now for a season. That's right. See? Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold trials and temptations. You know, I love the word trials there. That the trial of your faith, so your faith is on trial. Ladies and gentlemen, in this hour, your faith is on trial. And that faith, Peter says here by the Holy Ghost, that your faith that's been on trial, it's like the faith is passing through fire. He says it is more precious than of gold, because that's how gold is purified. You put it through the fire. After they've done all the mining, I mean, it took them a long time to find it. When they find it, it's covered with dust and all kinds of things, you know, and they had to put it through the fire, thousands of degrees of heat. And he said, look, when you're going through like that, your faith in comparison to gold that is being prepared for, with, you know, to bring out the luster and the shine, yeah, you will go through stuff as well. He said, your gold, I mean, the gold that is put through that fire, when you compare your faith, he said, though it be tried with the fire as gold, it will come out shining, and your faith will be tried, and you come out shining, and it's more precious than of gold. You will come out at the end, you'll be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. After it has been tried, the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. So that's where it's all about. That's where we're all going. You must believe till the end for promises along the way and for the major promise of Jesus saying, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So, you know, our faith will be tried. You know, during that time, you know, you remember the word of the Lord that said, I will never leave you or forsake you, but there will be moments that you will feel forsaken. The psalmist said, he said, look, I feel like an owl in the desert. Many times I feel like, you know, a pelican in the wilderness. I feel like a sparrow on top of the, you know, roof and the housetop just by myself. You know, I feel withered like the grass. You know, I feel like, you know, a shadow that declined. I mean, he just talked about all these things and the things that he's going through and so on. Well, you know, that may be there. That's part of the Lord trying that word. That's part of that word being tried in your life. You know, these things must indeed come upon us. The word of the Lord must be tried. When the Lord gave promise to Abraham of he becoming great, and the Lord will make him great. Well, I mean, Abraham was just there. He didn't know too much about anything. But the Lord chose him. The people that were trying to build a tower in Babel to this top of the skies and so forth in Genesis 11, you know, they were trying to do that, but the Lord scattered them. But right in the next chapter in Genesis 12, Abraham was not trying to be great or anything. You know, in fact, he dwelt in the land of heathen, and he wasn't even know too much about God or anything. But the Lord handpicked him for greatness. And even all the things that the Lord said unto him, you will be great, and so forth. Well, and you will be a father of nations, and you will be like this and this and that. I mean, this was a man that was minding his own business. And the Lord, the word of the Lord came to him and told him all these great things that God would do in his life. You know, listen to this. Genesis chapter 12, you know, verse 1. Let's even start at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. Now this, Abraham wasn't asking God to do this. He wasn't doing any such thing. It was God that said it of himself. And I will bless thee. So I tell people, I said, look, greatness is from the Lord. It's not because you are striving to be great necessarily, but when God puts it upon you, and you know, that's it. He said, I will bless you and I will make your name great. This was God saying it to Abraham. Abraham wasn't even asking God to do it. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curse. That was, must have been something that God saw in Abraham that made all of this. He rejected all the people that were trying to build the tower in the previous chapter, rejected them, scattered them, and then he chose this one man that was not trying to be anything, and then said he was going to make him great. And so, you know, and there was all kinds of promise. Unto thy seed will I give this land, and so on. I mean, so many things. And then the next chapter, the Lord, you know, tell him some more things and so forth. You know, and all these things, you know, look and see, you know, all the land I'll give you from where you can see to the left, to the right, to this and that. So many things. Later on, the Lord will come and tell him, you know, I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. I will make you great. I mean, God just kept telling him these things, you know. So there was the word of greatness for his life that came from the Lord unto him. So that to him was the word of the Lord. But that word was tried. For 25 years, he went childless. And there wasn't much of any greatness that we could see in terms of, you know, enlarging, you know, his seed. Because how are you going to increase your seed when you don't even have one to start with? You know, God blessed him in some substance. He was a great man of substance here and there. But this particular area that was part of that word that came to him was tried for many years, you know. But Abraham was a man that understood certain things, certain principles. He knew that. He knew the way, you know, to proclaim that word, even though he was going through the trial. He said, well, the Lord said unto me, that I should change my name. And he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, which means father of nations. And then I say, wow, father of nations when you don't even have a child. So he was tried. The word of the Lord was tried, but he stood with it, kept believing God. For many, many years, the word of the Lord was tried. Well, let's read a few more things that Peter had to say about. Peter had a lot to say about this, you know, trying and so on that might come unto you. First Peter chapter 4, let's read from verses 12 to about 19. You know, First Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to about 19. You know, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You know, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Well, this in this case might be sufferings, you know, but, you know, let's enlarge that and think to about, you know, the things that we just have to go through. When we have the word of promise and everything goes contrary to that, it's your faith that is really on trial. Now, he says, well, but if you suffer for Christ, he's talking about that here too, when his glory shall be revealed, you also will, you know, be glad with exceeding joy. The glory of the Lord will be revealed in our lives. And he talked about, you know, when we suffer for Christ, you know, then remember also that you will be glorified with him and the Spirit of God resting upon you and so forth. Although, he said, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or evildoer and all these things. You know, but, you know, the time for your refreshing will come after some trials, you know, that we pass through. We got to pass through these things in order for the grace of God to come upon us fully. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Well, I often say, why in the world must it be after? Why not right away? You know, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Well, settle me already. I don't want to suffer for a while. Just settle me right at the beginning. Why should I go through all these things? Well, that's the way it is. That's the way the Lord called for it. And Christ himself had to go through the same. You know, the word of the Lord unto Christ from the beginning, you know, he knew it, you know, and he said, he declared it from the beginning. I and the children the Lord are giving me as for signs and wonders. I have come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. He knew the things the body has out prepared for me. He knew all the things that he must do. And he knew how he must bring many sons unto glory, you know, from the beginning. He said, this commandment I received of my Father. But he had to suffer shame, disgrace, and wait many years. And even for 30 years, he couldn't really come out and do things. I mean, he knew what he needed to do. He knew he could heal the sick, raise the dead, do all of these things. He knew he could walk on water. He knew he could command all these things. But he had the word of the Lord tried him. But he also knew that, well, to be a rabbi, you know, in the tradition of the Jews, you had to wait to be about 30 years old so that you can command some respect. And then so he had to patiently wait. Well, the word of the Lord tried him that whole time as well, you know, because, you know, he had to wait. Had to wait. I mean, Jesus could have come with guns blazing and everything from the beginning. Why you got to go and be born like a baby? Why you got to wait 30 years? You know, when you already knew what you were going to do. You know, so these things are so, my brethren, that look, God will make us go through some stuff. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 that God must try every son that he receives, you know. Look, every son. They said the Lord loves those, I mean, whom he loves, he chasteneth and scourgeth, you know. That's like it put you through some lashing and some whipping of the whip, W-H-I-P. You know, scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now, if you endure chastening, then the Lord dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You know, and so telling us these things that look, we will pass through many things. Now, if the Lord hadn't promised you anything, you know, maybe it's easier because you're just wallowing in defeat anyway. But when the Lord had promised you a time of refreshing, when the Lord had promised you a time of rest, then it's a little more challenging when after the Lord promised you a time of rest, then all hell breaks loose. And I'm like, look, you know, why in the world, you know, would the Lord tell me that I'm going to have rest? And then all these things are happening. You know, well, yeah, it's the same lesson of faith that we have spoken about dozens of times in this room in Mark chapter 4. Let us cross over to the other side. That's what he said. But then all hell broke loose. You know, so, you know, Jesus declared a safe passage, or the intention of a safe passage to the other side. But yet, all hell broke loose. And the storms and billows and everything rose up against that boat, slammed against it, did all kinds of things that caused the hearts of these seasoned fishermen who had been through many things like that. They were seasoned. They knew how to go into the deep places, you know, and how to deal with those storms and so forth. But this storm was furious, slammed against them and so forth, to where they panicked. Well, you know, it seems to me like, I mean, the Lord gave the word, and then all of other things come up against that word. Seemed to me like the word of the Lord was tried in that situation. Let us go over or cross over to the other side was tried by the storms that slammed against the boat. So you might say, well, the Lord told us that, you know, we're going to have, you know, a time of rest and so forth. Then why are all these things coming and happening, you know? Even in the beginning of months, like the Lord said, and you know, stuff's happening. Well, because the word of the Lord must be tried. You know, Jesus said in John 16 and 33, he made a statement to that effect. He said, look, you know, as long as you are here in this world, you know, you're going to have trials and testings and tribulations. But be of good cheer, he said. Now, God revealed the end from the beginning through the words of the Lord Jesus, even in this statement. The end of it is that we will overcome, because he also already overcame. The end of the matter for Joseph was that he was going to be better than his brethren. He was going to be greater than them. They were going to serve him. They were going to even bow down to him. That was the end of the matter. But at the time that the end of the matter was shown to him, he was despised and hated, you know. And but God did not necessarily tell him the in between, you know. So God showed him what will be. And that's all he knew. That was the word of the Lord unto him. But what's going to happen between now and what will be? God never told him that. You know, God kept that one back from him. And he had to figure it out along the way. See? Got to figure it out along the way. And God said, you're going to be great and greater than your brethren, and showed you that they are going to bow down to you and all of that stuff. And now it looks like, you know, that's never going to happen, because you have been carried into slavery and all these bad things keep happening to you. Well, that's the word of the Lord being tried. But see, so God may not show you the in-between. What the Lord gives to us when he says a time of rest and a time of refreshing, you know, that's the end state. But how you get there from here, well, we got to figure it out along the way. God may not always show you that, you know, but you got to figure it out. That's where trust comes in. You know, put your hand into his hands. Put your feet into each of the footsteps that you see and just keep following him. He may not show you everything all at once, but we got to trust him. I've said in this room multiple times that faith sees as already there the end state that God showed you. Your faith today can see it. That's why God told Abraham, come out here in Genesis 13. He told him, look, and look around you and everything that you see from where you are, what you see all around you, north, east, west, south, and everything. All of it will I give you if you can see it. You know, so faith sees as now the promise that is yet future. But what's going to get you there is your believing through the process. There will be a process of the word being tried. You can call it your faith is now on trial to see whether and how you will deal with things that come up against that word. There will be contradictions against the word of promise, like the storms that came against the boat, like the people that rose up and said, we can't take the land, we cannot do it. Well, there will be contradictions that will rise up against the word of promise. The word of promise was you can go and take the land, and the contradictions will rise because your faith must be tried. Your faith is now on trial. Now, according to Psalm 34 and verse 19, that scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, why? I mean, the last part or the latter part of that verse gives us, you know, the end state. But how come we cannot have that end state without having the first part? But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. How come the Lord cannot just deliver me, you know, without making me go through? I mean, just deliver me already. You know, just like Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, look, lead us not into temptation, or better, lead us away from temptation and deliver us from all evil. Now, if the Lord taught us to pray about that, well, you can translate that lesson in many ways. Deliver could be, he might actually keep you from it. That's one way of delivering you from something. I mean, the Lord delivers us from stuff all the time. You know, I mean, there might be an accident that you're about to get into, and the Lord deliver you from it and you escape. That's also deliverance. Or you might already be in the trouble and he can deliver you out of it. So, I mean, deliverance can be in any shape or form or any manner. You know, so, but in this Psalm 34 and 19, this is actually telling us that you will be in many situations that the Lord will have to pull you out of. Not exactly that you will escape them, but he will pull you out of it. Now, in some cases, you might escape, you know, and not get into it at all. But this one is saying that there will be many that you will be into, but the Lord will pull you out of it. Hallelujah. You know, so that's a blessing right there. Isaiah 43 and 2 tells you that, look, there will be situations that will try your faith, try your confidence in the Lord. Things will come up against you that will be fiery. They will be like floods that will try to overwhelm you. And so he gave the promise. He said, look, when you are going through, and praise God, you know, I've said it so many times, the key word there is going through and passing through. That's very key. You know, but here's how he said it. When you pass through the waters. So it's a when, not if. And when you pass through the rivers. So it's a when and not if. No, that means you will surely be in situations that look like you will be overwhelmed. you will surely be in situations that look like you will be consumed and burnt. But he said, look, the Lord will deliver you because you're coming out on the other side. But during the time that you are passing through, that's like your faith being on trial. The word of the Lord is being tried during that time. Let's see, you know, what substance you're made of, whether or not you'll be right there. Jesus told some, gave some incredible lessons on endurance and persistence in prayer. For instance, in Luke chapter 18, he talked about, you know, look, don't give up. Keep calling on the Lord. He will answer you speedily and all those things. But finally, in verse 8 of Luke 18, he said, but when the Son of Man comes, though, shall he find faith? And this is the way that I interpret that verse. I've given this lesson also several times, is when the Lord finally shows up in that situation that you are passing through, will you still be believing? Or would you have quit? Would you have turned back in your heart? Or will you still be believing? Well, I'm going to still be believing. What about you? Praise God. So let's keep on believing, no matter what. The Lord has promised to be with us, you know, but sometimes it doesn't look like it. You know, Psalm 91 verses 15 and 16 tells us some things, but many times it doesn't even look like that at all. You know, but what are you going to do when it doesn't look like that? Well, that means your faith is on trial. Let's read Psalm 91, famous psalm, which everybody knows, you know, talking about, you know, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty and all that stuff. Let me just jump to verse 15. You know, just read two verses. Now, you know all the wonderful things of protection that are listed in that psalm, you know. But, you know, here's what the Lord said. He said, no, call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. Now, the Lord didn't say here that I will always keep you away from trouble, that you will not get into any trouble. But he said, I will be with you in trouble. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, there is a preponderance of evidence throughout the scriptures that, look, even though the Lord is able to keep you from the fire in the first place, there might be times that he will let you enter that fire, but pull you out. And the children, you know, Daniel's friends, they had that level of confidence. They knew it. The way they said it to Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, look, I'm going to give you one last chance. It has been reported that you guys did not bow down when you heard the dulcimer, the music, the this and that. You did not bow down and worship the golden image that I've set up. But you know the law. If you don't do it, you're going to be cast into the fire. So, you know, because he liked this. I mean, he really liked those young men because they were friends of Daniel. And he loved Daniel, you know, and they were promoted and stuff. So he really liked them. So he gave them a chance. Look, I'll give you one last chance. Maybe the report is not true. You know, maybe, you know, people were just saying that. But here we are. You know, if you want to, anytime you hear the salbots, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you will now fall down, I'm going to let them play it now. And you fall down. And I'll know that all they said was false. If you will fall down, worship the image, you know, then you'll be set free. But if you worship not, you'll be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know, and here's what those young men said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16 to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. This is not a matter for us to go and think and pray about. We are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our minds are made up. And that made the king furious. And mad. He said, look, if that be so, that you are going to cast us into the fire, well, we know that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So that's being persuaded, knowing that God is able to do it. But let's see what the father said. And he will deliver us. So that's being embracing it for that particular. God is able to do it and he will do it. You know, so that settles it. But then he went on to say, look, but this is the not loving their lives unto death part. According to Revelation 12:11, their testimony was that our God is able to do it and he will do it. And that's how Revelation 12:11 says, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. But as another element, they love not their lives unto the death. So that's how they got the victory. So this next element, which they now said, but even if the Lord doesn't deliver us, we're not going to submit to this your command. And we don't care if you throw us into the fire or not. That's not loving their lives unto the death. But you see, the Lord could have just saved them and said, well, just change the mind of the king at that point. Say, well, okay, I know you guys have been faithful in all elements of the kingdom and so on and so forth. You are some of the smartest people we have here, you know, among all my chiefs and princes and stuff. So I'm going to let this one pass. This is your one free get out of jail card or whatever. No, the king said no such thing. In fact, he was furious and said, let them hit up this thing 7 more times. Because, I mean, how in the world will you stand there and tell me you're going to defy my commandment and you don't even care whether I throw you into the pain or not? Even though I give you a chance? Furious. But those guys, they love not their lives unto the death. You know, so the Lord did not prevent them from being thrown into the fire, but he most certainly was there with them in the fire and ended up bringing them out of it. You know, so the word of the Lord was tried for them as well. And they bound them up and so forth. They already knew that the Lord said, when thou passest through the fire, I will be with you. So they knew that. And said, God's going to deliver us. But it didn't look like it. And they bound them up, cast them into that fire. They're like, oh my goodness. You know, but yeah, you know, as soon as they landed in that fire, the angel of the Lord was right there to take the sting out of that fire. Whew, glory to God. And immediately their chains were loosed and they were walking about, you know, giving glory to God. You know, and my goodness, of course, Nebuchadnezzar was behind what you might call a fireproof glass, looking, you know, and say, my goodness, what's going on here? Meanwhile, the people that tried to cast them into the fire, they themselves were slain by the fury of the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, well, didn't we cast 3 people bound into the fire? Well, how is it now that we see 4 men loose? And they would not, the shape and form is looking at this one. This one is different. It looks like an angel. It looks like the Son of God or something. And what is this? Well, you know, that's the word of the Lord was tried in that situation. But the end of the matter is the Lord is faithful. Praise God. And they come out of that place. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, we are told that we must, that's a must. Ladies and gentlemen, you must, say, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. Well, let's not even talk about kingdom now. Let me put it to you this way. You must, through much suffering, enter into this rest. You know, so it looks like at first, you know, He promised it, but at first looked like all hell broke loose. Well, that's why he said, labor to enter into the rest. In other words, there will be all kinds of stuff that you must ward off. You come this way, you ward it off. Come to your left, you ward it off. Come to your right, you ward it off. You put off the shield of faith. Quench all the fiery darts of the enemy that throw against you. The Lord said, I will have rest. And then all kinds of things come out and say, no, I will have rest. I am determined by faith to enter into that rest. And that faith will be tried. And I say, well, but it will be tried. You must, through these things, enter, but there are some promises that, look, if you stand firm, here's what God promised. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 15, this is what he promised. He said, when Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After that, he had patiently endured. So God is showing us the lesson also that we must endure. The promise is sure. It's certain and it's sure. But, the process of how you get there, that's something else that God may not always tell you. But, that process is so important. We've talked about that process many times. Even a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that process. But I have to keep reminding us that God has promised us rest. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13 says, look, it is not the one that starts the race that gets the reward. But you got to finish the race to even get a chance of being crowned. And when you run the race, you got to run it also according to the rules. We've talked about that before. But he that endures to the end, the same shall receive the blessing. So you must endure through that promise. That Matthew 24:13, he was talking about different things, but I'm applying it to our situation now. When you're going through, you must endure through that process in order for you to get the full deliverance at the end. The deliverance was already promised, but now you are thrown into the midst of some tribulation and trial and testings and buffetings and different things. But you must endure through it in order to get that promise at the end. Because Abraham had to patiently endure. And then afterwards, he received the blessing. Praise the Lord. And there are many, many, many promises that God gave us. Well, promises that even have to endure to his eternal kingdom and glory. Promises of the overcomers. But I like to take those promises and break them down for the present time. I remember when I was a young man, even from my youth, I never really liked it when people were always talking about what the Lord was going to do when we get to heaven and so forth. I didn't know all the things I know now, but somehow that thing never sat well with me. Even when I didn't understand the message of the kingdom or anything, it never sat well with me. I always used to say, well, come on now. If the Lord has this thing that, look, it will wipe away sorrow, it will wipe away sickness, there shall be no more pain, there shall be no more death. If he promised all these great things for me in heaven, well, let's see him do it for me now as well. If he can't do it for me now, well, I don't know, what's going to make me believe that he's going to do it later. This was my thinking when I was a young man. Of course, I know better now. But even then, I challenged those things in my mind, always telling me that God's going to do these great things in the future. Everything's going to be all right, in the kingdom when we get there. There'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, for the former things have passed away. I'm like, look, let me experience some of that now. later on in life, God would say to me like, yeah, I like that fire in you. It's kind of like Gideon, I had a fire in me that challenged many things. I had a fire that challenged, Gideon challenged the status quo you know, challenge and say, hey, mighty man of valor and all these things and so on. So, well, yeah, if it be so, well, why is this? I used to say that in my heart, too. I didn't even know the story of Gideon. Later on, I was able to, you know, pare it down and say, oh, yeah, maybe that's what I was doing, too. But, you know, I didn't know that. I just challenged those things. And, well, if the Lord see all these promises and great things, well, now then let the Lord do some stuff now. Praise God, you know, and it's still true, you know. You know, I mean, I was rough around the edges back then, you know, but I believe God. You know, I just took everything that I saw in the Word of God and just believed it, you know. But, you know, and it's still true. I understand more things now, but it's still true. So here are some promises for overcomers, for the future. But these promises are even for now. We've dealt with promises of the overcomer, for the overcomer, Revelation 2:7. I'm not going to read them. I'm going to tell you the verses. So many things that he promised for the overcomer. But even now, while we are going through, can we also overcome? Promise the tree of life, you know, Revelation 2 and 7. You know, in Revelation, 2 and 11, he promised a crown of life. You know, in Revelation 2 and 17, you know, promised a white stone, new name written and all this. I mean, there's so many things he promised. In Revelation 2:26, you know, promised even many more things, you know, give power over the nations, you know, you have the rod of iron and so on. You know, in Revelation 3:5, he promised a few more things. But look, all these wonderful promises which we should look forward to. And remember, that's how we started the room today. Looking forward to the coming of the Lord and imagining it. You know, so we're not making light of that, you know, everybody who must have this hope in themselves. But in the meantime, you're going to go through some stuff, you know. Promise in Revelation 3 and 5, he said, look, there are a few things, you know, that I will give you, many wonderful things if you overcome. I will even, you know, give you the promise of confessing your name before my Father. I'll blot out your name, but I'll confess your name and all these things. You know, in Revelation 3:12, he promised them, you know, he will write upon them the name of his God and so on. And all these things. Revelation 3:21, my favorite, promised that they will sit upon his throne, you know, and so forth. And then Revelation 21 verse 7 said, you shall inherit all things. Well, okay. All of those are great promises. But right now, even when you are going through, nobody is thinking of sitting on any throne. Nobody is thinking of power over the nations. Or you can't even have power over, you know, some of the troubles you have now. Like Jeremiah 12 and 5 said, look, if you have run with footmen and you are weary, how in the world are you going to contend with horses? I mean, so this promise of ruling over nations, this promise of all these wonderful things, inheriting all things. Well, you know, if I'm going to rule over nations, if I'm going to inherit all things, I mean, if I'm going to have the morning star and all these other things that he promised, well, you know, give me a little relief right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I say that, you know, kind of funny like that, but it is true. You know, God is not a God afar off only. Am I a God afar off, saith the Lord, and not a God even that is near? I mean, will I only promise these things in the future and I'm not able to take care of you even now? Right now, you will take root downward. Even now, you will bear fruit upward. Hallelujah. And so the word of the Lord unto you even now. Even this moment. But the Lord wants you to win the little battles too. In preparation for running against chariots, you got to win the battle and the race against footmen. You're all on equal footing. You're all on the ground together and they beat you and dust you off. You know, that's what we used to call in days of my track and field, calling dusting them because they, you know, yeah, so you eat the dust behind me. You know, so, I mean, if you can't even win against the little things, are you going to win, you know, when all hell breaks loose, when Jordan The overswelling of Jordan when the river flows is bound. Cataclysmic upheavals and all hell breaks loose. You know, if in the land of peace, you can't even win, how are you going to win in the land of trouble? So during the time of peace, which God promised us, he wants us to win. You know, there should be little things that come at you. Oh, yeah, but you win them all. Win every little thing. Climb every mountain. Have the victory even through what you are facing. Hallelujah. So this is the message today. That word will be tried. Every word that God gave you will be tried. I don't think the devil is just going to sit down and let everything be hunky-dory. No. If the devil has something to say about it, and he always does, he's going to try to frustrate that word that God gave you. He's going to raise even doubt and all kinds of things from within you, from others, from everything. And so, look, you know, you think God loves you? Look at all these things that are happening to you, and so on and so forth. You know, but you must stand firm on the promise. You know that it is the word of the Lord that is being tried, and it is also your faith that is on trial. And what will be the result? What will be the verdict at the end of the day? Will you come out justified in the name of the Lord because you believe his word? That's right. You know, when you believe his word, the Lord, you know, the Lord has these council meetings, you know, in the heavens. You just don't see it. But some scriptures that reveal it to us, and we know it happens. And the Lord will say, you know, there's one, at least one story in the Bible that told it to us and helped us to understand that. And we saw it, you know. So, in, you know, in like in 1 Kings chapter 22, we saw it. You know, how the Lord said, well, who's going to go down to Ramoth? I mean, down over there and cause Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead so that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled against him that was pronounced against him by Elijah and all these people. You know, so one came out and said this, another came out and said that, and so on. And God said, well, I don't know. You know, another one came and said, why we go and do it? And I said, how? I said, well, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. I said, okay, cool. You know, go and prosper. See, so that lesson reveals to us that, you know, although that was a negative thing, well, one time I was thinking about it some years ago, and the Lord began to show me something. He said, yeah, just like you see that, so that stuff's going on too, which you don't see. It's just that you don't see it. Yeah, and this is what's going on behind the scenes that you don't see. The Lord will have those meetings as well and say, look, I can see my daughter down there. She's holding on to my word and she's believing and she's starting to declare my word. So you go down there and make sure it happens. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, and so the angel will be dispatched on your behalf. Are they not called ministering spirits after all? They will be dispatched on your behalf. The Lord said, go down there and see to it that what she is believing and starting to declare comes to pass. You see to it. And then you come and give me a report. And then they'll go and then they'll come back and say, okay, what happened? Well, not that the Lord doesn't know, but the Lord likes to feel, you know, let those angels feel like they're useful, right? You know, Lord doesn't need angels or anything, but, you know, he created them to put them to use. So you let them come and give a report. And they say, well, I've gone to and fro. You say, well, what report brings you? You say, well, it all is at rest concerning your daughter, such and such. you know, and say, yeah, you know. And, you know, those angels, when the Lord dispatches them like that, they've got their orders. And, you know, you can't tell them anything different. I've got my orders. You know, that's what he'll say. But the way to make it all happen is you declare that word. They're waiting in the wings. You may not see them, but they're there. Because the Lord already gave them charge over you. And then they're waiting. The only thing they're waiting for, according to Psalm 103 verse 20, is for you to declare the word of God in the situation that you are in. That's all. The moment you begin to declare, not your feelings, not your thoughts, not, you know, how bad the situation is and so on. Yeah, but all of that is, it is what it is. But you declare the word of the Lord, the promise that God gave. The moment you start to declare that, these angels that are waiting in the wings, they go into action. That's exactly what Psalm 103 verse 20 says. He said, praise ye the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength. They are sent on an errand. God has equipped them to do certain things. You know, and he said, well, you know, what do they do? They do his commandments, happening to the voice of God's word. Well, that voice of God's word can come from your mouth. That's the only way to get angels. You can't command angels directly. You can't do it. But when you speak the word of God, they will respond to that word. And the Lord already told them, go down there and see. The moment she begins to declare my word and say, let it be unto you me according to thy word, then you go down there and make sure it happens like she's believing. And then they move into action. Praise the Lord. So my encouragement to us today is keep on believing. Although the word of the Lord that was promised you might be tried, stand right there. Bible says, having done all, stand. That's right. Stand right there and don't quit and don't give in and don't give up. Knowing that the faith, your faith will be on trial. And there's a process you must go through to enter into this rest that the Lord has promised. Now, some of us, some of you already began to enter into that rest. But the moment you understand this lesson today, you will be in that rest, no matter what else. You know, our body at rest will remain at rest. The law of inertia. You will just be, you know, you must enter into that rest. Now, entering in is something you must do. Jesus said, enter into the gates, the straight gate. For straight and narrow is the way, and broad and this way is the other way that many people are rushing into. But you must find that straight and narrow path. Well, you must enter in though. Enter in means take a positive action to take the step in the right direction. And enter into that rest. Now, he that is entered into God's rest and your rest, which God promised, you cease from your labors, even as God ceased from his. Hallelujah. Now, here is a promise to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and 8, this is the promise of God to you. He said, look, don't be afraid now. The Lord said, it is he that doth go with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verses 6 and 8 says the same thing. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 will come back and say exactly the same thing. He said, the Lord has said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, the Lord said it in Deuteronomy chapter 31 verses 6 and 8. It is the Lord thy God that doth go with you. He will not leave thee nor forsake you. When you're going through, he'll be right there with you. Just remember it. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and 5 will tell you the same thing. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The mountains, he said, you know, may be removed. You know, all these things may happen. And they may even fail. The hills may go away. The mountains may be removed. All of these things. But the Lord said, look, my peace shall not be removed from you. Hallelujah. Ah, isn't that wonderful? The covenant of my peace will never be removed from you. Let's read it together in Isaiah 54 verse 10, and then I'm going to pray over the room. You know, though the mountains may be removed and the hills may be removed, my loving kindness, he said, will never depart from you. And my covenant of peace So while you are going through, remember this. Praise the Lord. I'm going to use the words of this Isaiah chapter 54 verse 10 to pray over the room for everyone that is here. And that's what the Lord said. The mountains shall depart. I mean, it's like that your defense. The hills that, you know, seem to be hiding behind and everything may even depart. I mean, normally, you know, it looks like mountains are unmovable. Well, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem and so forth, you know, they that trust in the Lord shall be a Mount Zion that cannot be removed. Well, sometimes it looks like mountains cannot be removed, but they can be removed and they can depart. But my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. And listen to verse 11. And this is our prayer for you today. O thou afflicted. This is Isaiah 54 and 11. Tossed with the tempest. Up and down and so forth. The blasting of the tempest and the storms against your boat. And not comforted. And looks like you are not going to make it. You will make it. It is your faith that is being tested. It is the word of the Lord that is being tried. But you hang in right there. I will lay thy stones with fair colors and your foundations with sapphires. I'm going to beautify everything in your life, finally. I will make your windows like agates and your gates of carbuncles, your borders of pleasant stones. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And in righteousness shall thou be established. And thou shalt be far from oppression. And thou shalt be far from fear and from terror, because it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whomsoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. And finally, he said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That's why I always go to Isaiah when I'm looking for some lifter up. Promises, I either go to the Psalms or I go to the book of Isaiah. Powerful stuff. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment that shall condemn. The tongues that bring, you know, words of discouragement and say, you can't do that. Or says who? The Lord says, I can do it. And I know I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Father, I pray for your people on here this morning. May this word of encouragement be a lifter upper, for all the people. To say, yes, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I can go through, and I will go through, and I will prevail. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We know that the word of the Lord will be tried in our lives. And Lord, as we have shared the word to your people today, may they receive the assurance that, yeah, the word of the Lord has been tried. Yeah, their faith is on trial, but they will win. The verdict is that you are a winner. Praise the Lord. But you must stand right there and don't give in or don't give up. And the Lord will come through for you. And as the word of the Lord that came to us this month saying, this shall be the beginning of months to you and it shall be a month of rest. Now let that word take hold upon everybody and let everybody take hold on that word as well. The word will overtake us. Hallelujah. And it will come upon you even as you believe the word. God will eventually bring you into that cycle of rest and refreshing. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the devourer that is coming in to try to devour your peace, to try to devour your rest and your quietness and the refreshing that God has brought and promised and is bringing, I come against that devourer in the name of the Lord Jesus. I put spiritual handcuffs upon every hand that tried to put forth their hand. Let those hands be withered. All the demonic and satanic altars that come against you to try to bring, you know, distress upon you. Let them shrink. Hallelujah. Let them be consumed. Let the fire of God fall upon those satanic altars. In Jesus' name. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This prayer is against demonic powers. Wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness and so forth. trying to frustrate your lie. The Lord frustrate their tokens in Jesus' name. Every device against you that will not prosper. Their hands, the evil hands of the devil, will not be able to perform anything. But the Lord said, surely in quietness you will rest and return and you shall be blessed. And my people shall dwell in quiet resting places with assurance and quietness. The walk of righteousness shall be peace for you. The effect of righteousness shall be tranquility for you. And my people, saith the Lord, shall enter into their rest. Hallelujah. You shall dwell in quiet resting places, in peaceable habitations and in sure dwellings. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. According to Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. God bless everyone that listened to this word. And may the Lord cause courage to rise in your hearts as you go through, knowing that the world lost stride, your faith is on trial, but coming out as a winner. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.